welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Rick Barraza.
And Rick, we got a full show, lots of stuff going on. And, you know, we just came down from the Unity event that we're going to talk about
shortly.
Great
event.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brian Keller, of course, is, I think he was busy. Busy was this week.
Let me check his schedule.
Yes.
Busy.
So let's get right to it. And our first story is actually the Windows Azure Active Directory release, which you can see, the new backup service and website monitoring and log improvements. And there's actually a number of things. And really the cool part is Scott Guthrie and the Azure team have just been having these continuous releases and really adding value.
Absolutely.
So, and with this one, what they're doing is enabling Active Directory. And one of the cool parts about Active Directory is it's available for free, so there's no charge to actually create a directory, populate it with users, or write apps against it, which is kind of crazy to be able to do that. And for folks not familiar with Active Directory, it's what we, you know, use at Microsoft. When you log into the company, it's the list of all customers. So you group people by a specific domain, like sometimes they're geographical, sometimes they're by teams. Like for us, it's like North America or Redmond or by location or country and so on. And they're just a logical way for you to manage your people across multiple servers. And this is obviously a Windows server. And the idea is you can actually federate now with your on-prem stuff, so and to the cloud as well. So you can actually, as changes, rather than using the cloud service, you just manage your customers, say you need to add a new hire, it'll automatically federate and update the cloud. So there's a number of really cool things that you can do there. And just some of the other services too, the new backup service that allows you to basically take and have a backup service for your Windows servers. And they list out what kind of servers they have. And monitoring log improvements, Scott Hanselman has a good post there. There's improvements, of course, kind of all over. But really, you know, one of the big ones is just changing was Vittorio, who a lot of people know from his Channel 9 days, Vittorio Bertucci, talks about using the single sign-on and how you can actually go through and design your identity system. So he goes through, basically, as you can see, kind of the Windows Identity Foundation, all the different parts, and talking back to the cloud and how that works. And the idea is being able to use single sign-on is one of the cool things that you can do with this. And really just like how one would architecture all the identity stuff that you'd need at a company. So very cool to basically get this. And he has one of the posts on Azure, and it's, you know, 50 pages long in terms of the amount of detail there.
Yeah, it's one of the things I really agree. I spent this morning hitting Azure again. I hadn't looked at it for a while. And again, the whole Azure team, they're just on a tear, right? And we're hitting this time where they're adding more and more features. It's really, really coming together. I mean, they're really expanding what they're offering, while at the same time we were seeing posts like this that walk people through much more specific tutorials. I think it's really kind of hitting the stride right now where the features that are being added, the community's getting behind it, some really good tutorials out there, including my the next story.
Next story, boom!
Once again, another Azure angle. This one's a game starter kit.
Sorry about that.
So this one is a game starter kit for Windows 8. Excuse me, lets you download the bundle. It's a JavaScript application. I downloaded it, walked through it. What's great, if you go to the link, it's leveraging Azure to control the leaderboard. But if you go down to download this, the blog post walks you through step by step in a hand-holdy way, like if you haven't played with it, but not overly simplistic. I mean, good screen captures, really improved quality on a lot of this stuff, saying, okay, here's how it is. You have this free trial, set up the screens, here's how you set it up. On this one specifically, it's taken advantage in Azure of the Azure Mobile Services.
Right.
So setting that up for the first time if you haven't done it before, adding a database, adding a table. Then once you have that, you download the project, you can start running through it. And the project itself, I mean, I never say Azure, the product itself, it's a good, very good, solid JavaScript kind of framework for a game, shows you some simple state management, and then when you're finished, shoots up the score up to your
mobile leaderboard.
Yeah, for leaderboard. Then you switch over. So I really, really enjoyed this tutorial.
Cool.
This kind of beginning to end, talking about that ecosystem of Microsoft, right? It wasn't just about JavaScript, wasn't just about gaming, wasn't just about Azure. These samples that show you how all these things come together. That's really what I enjoy. I really like this one.
Okay, cool. And next thing is, we talked about it, is the building Windows games with Unity. So
this was a lot of fun.
Jaime and team, and Vlad was one of the presenters as well, and obviously some folks from some of our partner teams. Corey Johnson, who is from Unity as well, Randy Sponge and a couple other folks doing sessions. It was a full day of content for folks. And we do have some intro to Unity videos that are coming up as well. But this was great content.
Yeah, and this happened down at our Silicon Valley Microsoft campus. So you and I both flew down there
earlier
this week. We really enjoyed it. Just had 2 days to dive into the sessions, the next day of one-on-one training with the Unity guys, with other developers, developers helping developers. I mean, it was a really good event, really got me charged up for Unity.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about it, and again, the Unity tools are available in beta for both Windows Phone and Windows Store. And for people unfamiliar with Unity, it's basically a game engine that allows you to build a number of things visually and uses either C# or JavaScript for the scripting engine for games. So a lot of good stuff there. And probably one of the other cooler parts is the inter-process communication. So Vlad did a session, and you'll be able to look at some of the sessions on how you can actually take and communicate back and forth between apps. So between apps in your game, whether it's a search contract, sending data back and forth. And you did this in one of your apps too.
Yeah, before the end, that was a lot of fun. And we went some great tutorials, which we'll talk about in a minute. But toward the end of the day, the last day, I was really excited about it because Unity comes with its own IDE at first. That's in case people don't know about it. So you open up Unity. It is a game editor, but you have scripting there, so you can code your script in C#.
And it uses Mono developed.
Yeah, it uses Mono developed by default, but you can switch that over to Visual Studio 2012 if you want. Right,
right, there is that plugin.
Yeah, there's a
Unity
plugin.
Unity VS, I think it is, but there's a cost for that. But
the cost for the plugin, but that gives you the hinting. If you just go under Unity, I believe under the tool settings, you can switch your editor from Mono to Visual Studio, but you won't get
the wonderful debugging, because they actually allow breakpoint debugging for games, which is awesome.
Yeah. So once you go through there, you build the game, and it exports it all out as a DLL or different options, right? And then it gives you a Visual Studio 2012 solution, so you can then open it up and then add the store features. Mm-hmm. Or, like we started kind of hacking toward the end of the day, kind of going into where they didn't talk about, not only store features like the charm bars and stuff like that, but inside of the XAML, you can start adding your own elements. So one of the tests we were doing created a file picker. So now this is Visual Studio 2012. We still have the Unity game that will be rendered on our DirectX swap chain panel. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, standard C#, standard XAML elements, create a file picker, load up that file, turn it into a byte array, throw it down to our game engine, and use it as a texture inside the game. It was really, really cool. I mean, to get from zero to that type of interop, right, in 2 days, I was very, very impressed with it. I'm going to be building games, right? At a certain point, I will be making tutorials and putting it up on Unity as well. I'm very excited about this tool, adding it to my design technology toolkit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things when we were trying to find something to start with, and I found this tutorial that we both went through, which was the, and I call it the Unity for Beginners tutorial, but it's actually made by somebody in the Unity community. Now, it is made
a while ago.
Yeah, because it is made for Unity 3.5, but for the most part, we were able to walk through. There's some, like the load level, async versus load level was one. There are probably a couple of things. The particle system has changed quite a bit. That's probably the one area where you just have to build your own particles and use the stuff. Then in terms of the tutorial where things didn't work together, but I thought it was just a very simple thing for somebody that isn't familiar, because there's so much to learn in terms of the IDE from, hey, what is this thing called a level? Where am I putting my camera? How do I add a material? How do I just drag and drop things on? Whenever you make something, attaching a script to an item, whenever you made a public property, you can then set properties on it in the equivalent of their property, which is, God, what is their identity? It's the fourth inspection pane.
Yeah.
So there's just a number of cool things to check out. And this is four part videos that walk you through basically everything. And we converted the script to C#, and it was pretty intuitive for the most part.
Yeah, we're both doing it almost real time, right? Because the tutorial, it is in JavaScript.
Right.
But the change from JavaScript to C# in this environment, I actually enjoyed it because it was part of that learning behavior, because it's something that's going to happen a bit. If you're coming from Microsoft, you're familiar with C#, maybe you come from WPF, you start playing with Unity, you're going to feel right at home with C Sharp, but a lot of tutorials out there are in JavaScript. So I think it's a great learning example, and this was very accessible, right? I mean, you look at it, it's a blue, it's a red circle, it's a green cube.
Yeah, so it's a cube that obviously shoots stuff, so you learn, like, how do I do a max and min in terms of movement? How do I do random respawn? How do I remove things after they leave?
The particle events for explosions, stuff like that.
Yeah, so how do I attach, basically, events, and they have the equivalent of their events are basically triggers, and who triggers it, and then what do you do with the object? Like, you increase the score, maybe you move the life if there's less lives. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that actually go into a very basic tutorial.
And finishing this, because I know you hadn't played with it before, right? I'm a little familiar with game IDs in general, right? And I had a little bit of time with these types of things. But going through those four tutorials, at the end of those 2 hours, I could tell your confidence was kind of totally, like, you kind of got it. It presented it in a big picture.
Yeah, because
it really helped.
Then it's like, if I ever need to build a new material, I know exactly where to go. If I ever need to add a component, I know exactly where to go. How to add audio. Yeah. Like, it's all just kind of built. It hits the major parts. And there are some parts, too, like in the tutorial, where you're like, okay, that's really bad design, where, like, literally it's the same code three places, where... Yeah. Like, the spidey sense is like, no, we're going to build one method.
Yeah, and we were actually fixing it real time, which was kind of funny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was neat. Now, not just to this, but Vlad will also be producing a lot of tutorials in general, right? We're going to be seeing a lot more Unity tutorials coming out now that people are getting the bits, specifically on Unity, where it is now, Unity for Windows Store applications, and I'd like to see more tutorials of Unity and Visual Studio and that cross-talk.
Yeah, frankly, so, I felt like just taking this one and updating this one, because I thought it was like a really good start and just adding just some more clarity. So, okay, next up is Complete Guide to the Dynamic Keyword in C#. So the idea behind the dynamic is you are going to have a dynamic type that you don't know about at compile time. You're going to know about it at runtime, and you can actually call, say, properties and methods of it. So one good example of a library that people are maybe familiar with is the Facebook library that's available for... It's basically the .NET wrapper for Facebook that uses the dynamic keyword because you don't know what exactly the properties are that a person is going to query on. You can actually use the dynamic keyword and then say, hey, because you can send a query and say, I want first name, last name, and, you know, a company that they work for. And you can set up properties, and just by sending that, their data types don't need to map out and say, we're going to hard code this as a property, first name, last name. They're going to do that dynamically. And then you can, within your runtime code, say first name, last name. And as long as the data matches, then you're all set. So there's a number of things that people are kind of interested in, and some of the differences between object and dynamic types. So cool stuff. Now here's a fun one.
Yeah, Philips Hue Lighting Controller. Coding for fun, so our very own Clint Rutkus. But actually, this Jerem Archer, he's a guy in a company called Untitled Network, I believe. And what they went ahead and did, Philips has released these LED light bulbs that you can programmatically change the color to them, right? That's what it is, pictures here. So there is currently a Windows Phone Store app called Oni Light Control that if you have one of these Philips light bulbs, you can Windows Phone, pull it up, and then using the color picker from the Coding for Fun toolkit. So shout out to that. Right. So they were using that in the app, and so you go through and you can kind of change the color mood lighting with this. So this is a good tutorial. First,
and there's the YouTube video, right?
Yeah, there's the YouTube video of the app in action, but then Jerem goes ahead and breaks down if you want to do it yourself. If you bought one of these, your Windows Phone dev, you kind of want to jump into the code. How he did it using the color picker. Nice breakdown, nice walkthrough tutorial. So a little bit of everything. I thought this was really, really neat.
Yeah, this is fun. I definitely want to get some of these.
Yeah.
So this is a create a database first, code first, entity framework model, 5 model. And I love the reference. It's like, you got your code on my database first. You got database on my code first. What?
I think I remember that commercial.
Yeah. Was that a young you? Is that a you change?
Yes.
The years have not been gentle.
Yeah, they have not.
So the point was, why would you ever want to be able to do that? And the idea was, if you're dynamically creating a disconnected SQL CE database on a client with a high degree of security, basically, it allows you to use a code-first and database-first approach, And the database-first approach will actually block, because normally it's one or the other. But if you need properties of both, this is the way you do it. This tutorial basically goes in and says, these are the restrictions that the database-first adds on the T4 template. Here's the things you can choose, and that way you can do both a database-first and a code-first approach. So it's kind of a unique scenario, but I always love when people kind of find interesting ways to solve things and dig into things like T4 templates. Cool. Now this one is also just kind of a real basic walkthrough of VS Update 2 and the Microsoft Fakes framework. And the idea behind Fakes is it allows you to basically test what they call untestable code. So the idea is I can build fake objects. It kind of shows the basic things that you need to walk through to actually build the test to do the arrange, assert, and to make sure that your test is all set up. So if you're into, for example, looking at the Microsoft Fakes framework, definitely check this post out in terms of just as a simple getting started guide for Update 2.
Okay. On the next one, so this is more of an announcement. This was a really good post. These were the guys over at, let me get their name again, the Brent Ozar Unlimited. It's a team, they're kind of SQL Server
gurus.
Superstar gurus, consultants. They'll go in, kind of surgical strike is this metaphor that they go through. But on their website, they have offered, they are presenting a great roundup of SQL Server training videos for developers. Now, way back in the day, my very first certification was like on Visual Basic and SQL Server 7, like over a dozen years ago, which I quickly forgot when I went to the web, and now I'm back at Microsoft. So now it's coming back up
all
again.
Right,
but
all right.
More importantly, on Azure, setting up, I mean, all of a sudden, I've been working a lot on the front end, so I hadn't thought too much on the database, but now database with Azure setting those stuff up. And
on Azure Mobile Services, you're like, oh, wow, this is a table.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm setting, yeah, exactly.
Inner joins, what's going on?
I have a key, yes.
Yeah, so came at the perfect time, because I'm kind of over here in Azure land right now, and I was like, SQL Server. And these videos, great roundup of videos, seem to be very popular, cover everything. And so these are up there, great link, great links for the community. So if you are in that position, good overview, or if you got a deep dive. Some of the comments on here, they're like, hey, I've been doing like the SQL Server, the management, right?
SQL Server Management Studio?
Management Studio. A lot of people are saying, I've been using it for 6 years. I learned something new on the video, right? And so
yeah
good
I mean,
stuff. They seem to be well-liked and accessible, but still very informative.
There's so much just around setting up the best indexes where people are like, wow, these query performance suck. And it's like, no, it's the table indexes suck. So once you hit a right table index, you get the performance up. So there's just a number of things around tuning that you really need to look out for. So I love kind of the above the, yes, it's good to get started, and then here's kind of the best practices.
Yeah.
This brings us to our picks of the week.
Pick of the week.
So my pick of the week is a game available right now in the Windows Store called Gunpowder by Rogue Rocket Games. So this was actually Microsoft Studios was the publisher of the game, but they spoke at the Unity conference. And they talked about their company. It's about five devs, and it's a really cool puzzle game. You should definitely check it out. But the point is, they talked about one, how they're using Unity for a game that's in the store that has over 4 stars with 222 ratings in the store, and just some of the different things that they needed to do from a performance perspective. So,
and that video is available. People watching this show can actually watch this video because of the video wrap-up from the event.
Yeah, so like, for example, one of the things they talked about was like having like a really nice animation in between scenes. And they're like, you know what? All we did was have a video. Like, it's a XAML element with a media clip on it.
That was funny.
And they were like, yeah, in fact, people kind of liked it more than doing anything else. And just some of the things that you can take, and you never notice these things happening in terms of real-time performance.
Well, this was funny because we saw them speak. You go, hey, that looks kind of cool. Then you downloaded it. And then I think you stopped paying attention because you were just playing it. And then on the plane ride back up to Seattle, you were just playing it.
On the plane ride back,
and now it's your pick of the week,
Yeah, so but one, you gotta obviously support the indie devs, but they're doing some really just great stuff in terms of games. And for folks who like puzzle games, you're definitely gonna like it. So
absolutely
cool.
My pick of the week
is
was this really cool post: how to draw Einstein's face parametrically.
Okay,
so this is a leveraging Wolfram Alpha. If you go to Wolfram Alpha, you can go through on here you're doing a search for a second Albert Einstein curve, but this blog post actually goes down. It's almost a perfect storm of art meets nerd meets crazy math. So he's going through and says, there are all these people using Mathematica, the plotting functions, to draw these faces, not just Einstein, but lots of different
faces.
Yeah,
I think they had 140 or whatever.
So the blog post is very interesting because he goes through and says, you have these coordinate specs. How do you use a discrete Fourier transform function to turn those into a parametric function?
I just wish I could remember stuff. This would be so, anytime I find like a whiteboard to just write all this down.
Write it on.
And then have the one person who actually takes out their TI calculator and then plots that.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a trolley thing to do, but it'd be great.
Well, in Hollywood, we don't write on whiteboards. We have to be writing markers on glass. So when people when people walk by your office, they can see everything. Yeah.
Got it.
But actually, a really good blog post. It covers a final point on this. Not only does it kind of show, hey, here's kind of how they did it. Here's how you plot the coordinates, or you use the discrete Fourier transforms and all this types of stuff. He then goes ahead and shows you Python code that's simulating as well. So it's a little bit of everything. It's like really, really clever, geeky art. Really cool math, a nice introduction to Fourier transforms, and then also additional code. So I just pick of the week. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
And we shall see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks.
Right.